Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But now that I work from my home, and I've worked from my home just like everyone else working their home through the COVID shutdown, we don't do weekly podcasts on Mondays. We do daily podcasts every day of school. And today is the next to last day of school for me. It's just about 4:45 while I make this recording. It's late in the day and I've been on podcasts, on Zoom calls, on recordings, on meetups, on emails all day with every single student. Today is my next to last day of teaching. I'm going to talk about how to wrap up the school year, how I'm wrapping up the school year. I don't pretend to be an expert. I'm just sort of sharing my little slice of life, what I happen to know here in this place, both as a classroom teacher and as an instructional coach, so you can kind of see it from multiple angles. And I'd love to talk with you about how it's working in your classroom or how it didn't work in your classroom, because if we spend the summer thinking about where we go next, well, what do? More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, new episodes every day of the school year during the coronavirus shutdown started way back, I guess, right after St. Patrick's Day. And we did those March, April, and now here it is May, almost into June. We're wrapping up. This is our next to last episode for the school year. But if you're interested, there will be intermittent episodes throughout the summer, typically Mondays, but we might throw in one or two other ones just because why not? As this new normal is making its way into the fall normal, whether you're coming back or teaching remotely. And as an instructional coach, I do a lot of listening. I do a lot of meetings. I do a lot of strategery and try to figure out how to fit into that space. So I don't pretend to be an expert. I'm in a lot of those conversations, and I'll basically use these podcasts as a chance to echo those conversations with anybody who wants to hang out. If you like what you're hearing, you want to like or subscribe on your favorite podcasting app, that's awesome. If you leave comments, it helps other people find this, which is super cool. I'm on Twitcher, Stitcher, Twitter, all the places that podcasts are, Apple, Spotify, whatever. Also on Twitter, if you want to talk further, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. It's Meehan like my last name. M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and E-D-U like teaching, because yeah, it's hard, right? So let's do it together. I don't pretend to be an expert, but I will gladly talk to you about anything you want to in the education space there on Twitter. And I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, as in educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up to teach, fired up to learn, and fired up to get people excited about the same stuff. So if that sounds like good for you, let's do that thing. On my website, I have a ton of resources, totally free and available to share for everybody. Please feel free to dial in and get any of that stuff, adapt them in any way you want to, and let me know how I can help. While I'm talking about things that might be able to help for you, this summer, the Global EdTech Academy, which is sponsored in part by Microsoft and CUE. If that sounds like a thing you are interested in, haha, get on that gravy train. There are a whole bunch of speakers for free professional learning sponsored through Microsoft. Selfishly, I'm part of it, so I'm going to name drop here, but I want to just mention some of these other fantastic educators on this list. I have Michael Cohen, the tech rabbi. I have Holly Clark, my good friend Tara Linney, who just presented the other day on the cool things about Sway. Matt Miller, who just published Tech Like a Pirate, and a whole bunch of other books in there. Ken Shelton's on this list here. Peniel Rip, Paul Watkins, Vernon Wright, Claudio Zavala, Sarah Thomas, Micah Shippey. Like, I'm just geeking out about this. Rushton Hurley, Alice Keeler. Like, the list goes on and on about people who are so smart and so good at their jobs. I'm very grateful to be in this mix. I'll be talking about fun and games and playful learning and inspiring students to get excited, fired up, ways to get the engagement up, and how to change the game. I'll be having office hours this Friday. Check your local listings. You can visit the website to learn more. And I'll be hosting a whole bunch of seminars online through the summer and into the fall. It's not quite the same as hanging out in person, but we can connect and talk further. So if that sounds like a thing that's interesting to you, I'll put the link on my thing. You can search on the intranet. It's the Global EdTech Academy. The easiest way to get a hold of it here is to head to web.cvent.com, and you can learn all about the Global EdTech Academy. There are a ton of speakers, and every day we have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 presentations a day. And there's office hours. You can connect with us. You can ask questions, and it's totally free. It doesn't cost you a penny. Talking about what the summer is going to look like is a big part of what tomorrow's podcast will be. We'll talk about summer learning. Does that mean summer learning or some are learning? More on that tomorrow. I realize it sounds like a big old commercial for Friday's thing, but also it's free. So why not take advantage of it? Let's hang out. If you've been listening to the podcast, if you've enjoyed these conversations, dial in. Let's take some office hours and figure out how we can change the game together in our classrooms. Because today I want to talk about the way that I'm wrapping my school year up. I teach two sections of American literature at a high school in Arlington, Virginia. for the past 8 weeks, 9 weeks, we've been in shutdown, right? Since March 13th, 14th, or 15th, we've been remote. Now, for my students, I also work in the building as the instructional coach in charge of all of our school's professional development. So we have 105 teachers, and I have on my course load students, 41 students. That's a lot. It means that I have about 150 people who are on any given day vying for my attention. While I realize that's not everyone's course load, when I first started, I was full-time in the classroom in the public schools. I had over 200 students on my course load, and I had classes as large as 42. I'm very blessed right now. I work in a Catholic school, so it's smaller class sizes. I think I have a class of 20 and another one of, like I said, 21 or 25, or regardless. I have about 45 students between the two classes, 41 students between the two classes. It's changed throughout the year based on students coming and going and transferring and blah, 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 blah. And then about 105 teachers. So about 150 human beings who depend on me from a sideways or top-down model. Now, in addition, I also have, we have a school counseling team, and we have 7 or 8 counselors, and of course, our school administration. So I have like another half dozen folks there too, who I'm not responsible for, but I am responsible to, and I have to check in with them pretty regularly. So today, conference calls with our dean of students, our dean of mission, and our principal, head of school. That's a lot. It's a lot of time spent code switching between how do you talk to people who are your bosses, how do you talk to people who are your colleagues, how to talk to people who are your charges and your kids. And I'll be honest, it's exhausting. But to talk about how my year wrapped up, but I don't think I ever talked about it here on this podcast in its directly, because I usually spend more time talking about the structure of teaching and the structure of coaching rather than like particular example of here's what my day-to-day looks like in my own classroom. But when we left in March, I was aware that it was going to be hard for students to adjust to distance learning, and I needed to buy myself some time with an assignment that felt like it was meaningful. So I gave my students a chance to do a choice blogging project or a passion project where they were able to pick anything that they cared about and tell their stories. Now they could talk about Fortnite, they can talk about Friends, they can talk about Grey's Anatomy, they can talk about fitness or running or riding horses, cooking, dieting, exercising, I don't care, whatever their thing was. They set up a website, a passion project that they were excited about, and they added to that twice a week over the course of those first 3 weeks, 4 weeks out of school. So for most of March into early April, that was the deal. Twice a week, they post either 2 new blog entries or 2 new video updates or 2 new podcasts, whatever their thing was, their chosen communication style. It's great. Didn't care, was not upset about it. As long as they were posting regularly and joining the conversation, we had like a regular rolling curation of people turning stuff up and posting things out and sharing with their classmates and then like reviewing one another's peer review. And it was great because there was so much conversation, so much dialogue. And students can do it at 2 in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the morning, whenever they wanted to. They had a rolling window of as long as you get 2 things in by the end of the week, I don't care when you did them. It was nice. And it allowed my students to kind of take a break from the hardcore meet at a certain synchronized time and learn together. That was good. Unfortunately, some students do, as students do, take the time away from school to just be away from school, and it was hard to get a hold of some students, and I think that's fair for most of us. Like I said, I'm in a place of privilege, and I'm aware of that, where everyone in my building is paying a tuition to go to our building, so I'm aware that there's an expectation of reliable home internet access and the expectation that they will be dialing in on a regular or semi-regular basis. That's not everybody's story, and in truth, even my own internet, there's days where it's like, not great. People in our building are all using it, so, you know, the apartment is 2 or 3 or 4 people just in the same, you know, local sphere, just jamming up those airwaves. It happens. So you have to be flexible to it. But I was very grateful that my students did like 5 weeks worth of work, 4 or 5 weeks worth of work into the Easter break as a Catholic school kind of took a recess and then hit the hard reset. When we came back from that break, they finished up their passion project blogs and we moved to a unit on short fiction study. The short fiction, they had 3 weeks and each week they had a chance to pick a story, story A, B, or C. And then we were sorted into small groups based on whether they picked story A or B or C. And we dialed in on Zoom calls just to talk to each other about what that story was. Each person dialed in for 2 calls. We got on a Monday and a Wednesday or a Tuesday and a Thursday or whatever it was. And they had different mixes of people who they were meeting up with. So I just had a big old lump of all of my students from 3rd period, from 5th period, you know, from earlier in the day, later in the day, just dialing in at whatever time made sense. And they signed up online. And I knew, okay, this is capped at 8 kids. We're going to have a group of 8, group of 8, group of 8, and just talk. And to be honest, that social emotion was really, really important. And about half my students chose to stick with the discussion that way. Twice a week, they would dial in on Zoom and just join in conversation with their classmates. They really dug it. Great. But for those students who don't have that reliable internet, or they might be working, or they have other obligations, which means they can't be at their phone or at their internet at a certain time in the day, I needed to be flexible and asynchronous. So students had the option to take part in discussion forum analysis of the same short stories. Story A, B, or C, don't care which one you pick. Over the course of the next X number of days, dial in to that short story, which is posted up online, and I want you to analyze it. They make notes right there on the story, just like their classmates would have done if they were in the class discussion. And because I wanted to make sure they were interacting with it, I used the discussion forums on our LMS to do one of two things. Either they had a chance to just post their comments and reflections about this thing. Hey, I thought about this in paragraph two. Did anybody else see that? Oh, I agree because blah, 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 blah. Or once we hit the AP time and the AP tests were getting crazy for everybody, you know what? I'll do a quick podcast just like this one where I'll talk about the story with a friend. We'll dial in, we'll talk about the friend, and I'll post that up, and they have a chance to just binge listen to about 45 minutes of two people talking back and forth and take notes on what they're knowing, what they're hearing. Oh, I didn't think about that. But now that you mention it, with a paragraph reflection afterwards. So whether you dialed in for a 45-minute class twice a week or whether you dialed in for a podcast 45 minutes two times in a week, in the end, everyone's doing about 90 minutes worth of listening or reacting or interacting, and then a little bit of reflection afterwards, either with a short survey or a posted thing. That's great. And it was an easy way to spend the last nine weeks, without any pain where I was making students all have to dial in at the same time, that same pressure, and that felt really good. Unfortunately, there is that end of year thing where you don't see students for a long time and they start to drift. So to close out the school year, my final days, and if you're coming into your final days, that's why I mentioned this today as a thing. If you're not done as early as we are, maybe you're going for a few more weeks, right? Could this be a way that you make your end of year still valuable for all students? Because right as they were closing out the regular part of the before COVID time, all of my students had worked on research papers. These are significant works of scholarship that probably were as few as 7 pages, more likely like 12 pages, 15 pages. I read one, it was like 27 pages, about topics that the students were interested in. The choice-based inquiry project was great, but when students turn in all of that research and all of those papers on like March 5th, and then like by March 10th, you're like, maybe we're leaving for COVID. By March 15th, you're like, just kidding, we're out of the building, we'll never be back. It's really hard to give good feedback on that. And I know for the hours and hours that the kids spent on those papers, if I just give them a bunch of feedback with a grade on the top, they're not actually going to read any of that feedback. The research suggests if you put the grade on there, they just have two questions. What grade did I get? What grade did the person next to me get? And that's it. They don't look at all of those hours of comments. And because I wanted to make sure those comments were really well done, I wanted the students to hear them. So that was our final assignment. And today was our penultimate class. About half of the students, even some of them I have not seen in weeks, signed up for times on Zoom meetings where they all dialed in and we, as a class, one-on-one, student met with teacher, and we talked through the paper page by page by page by page, 15 minutes per student. Now, I certainly can't do every single page of a 15-page or 20-page document in that time, but I can spot trends, and I can have students walk me through their thinking of things that were maybe less clear, and then I work with them, and at the end of that conversation, I say, okay, we just talked for 10 minutes, 12 minutes about specific feedback that's good just for you. Based on what we said, what do you think the grade should be? And because we've talked about all of those details before the grade, now it's a conversation, it's a dialogue. Hey, you know what? I see these things were good. I mentioned that. Oh, you know what? I did spot that, or I failed to spot that. And it's much more organic and it's much more fair. At the end of the year, it feels like, hey, this guy's not throwing the book at me. If he's pointing out things that I can get better at, it's because he's cheering for me and I can hear his voice and I can see his face and seeing he's really excited for me. And at the end of the year, then they walk away saying, yeah, I'd make those changes because I do want to do a good job moving forward. It's not, I wrote it, I forgot it, I never saw it again, I got my B, I don't care, and we move forward. And again, for even students who I hadn't seen in weeks, it was really good to see everybody today. Now, logistically, it's a challenge, because I had 15-minute windows, and they had to sign up on Google Forms, or you can do it on a sign-up genius, and you really have office hours that start first thing in the morning, and they go all day. But I can meet with 40 students over the course of 2 days. It's a lot, but if over the course of 2 days, every single human being who I'm supposed to have interaction with, I've had 15 minutes worth of devoted interaction, how much more invested in the class, how much more like affirmed are they as people? Because like, hey, this human being took time out of his day to give me just 15 minutes of just me time. That's awesome. I wish my teachers could do that in the traditional classroom. And that's the type of thing that feels really good. So as you reach up the end of the year, if you don't have that big project, maybe even just doing exit year conferences, and in a time where you're talking about grading, if you're still forced to give grades, just make it a dialogue. How would you grade yourself this year? What are your high points? What are your low points? What would you do better? What could we grow from? What could we fix or finesse or change? And then give that parting shot that they have a voice in it. Students feel like, wow, this class was fundamentally different because I was here. It's not somebody who was just like meat through a grinder, check, 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 check. Especially as we do distance learning, it's so critical to have that face time with the people who we're trying to serve. We're not teaching content, we're teaching kids. And making sure those kids feel safe, supported, heard, and seen. And for me, it was exhausting, but you can hear it in my voice here. Like, I'm still really excited at the end of my day because I know that what I did was worthwhile to the learners who I am charged with helping out. And that gave me the energy to go to those other meetings with admin, which I'm just getting off of now. So anyways, it's just after 5 o'clock. I'm gonna call it a day. Thank you for listening. If you want to talk further, feel free to dial me up on Twitter at @mehanedu. Head to my website, www.adrenalinerush.com. I wrote a book, Adrenaline Rush, all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, escape rooms. And, or if you want to dial in on Friday, I'm telling you, web.cvent.com. Tons of stuff, free PD. Would love to hang out with you on Friday. God bless, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned. One more episode to go tomorrow before we wrap up our last day of distance teaching. Hooray! Bye for now. Thanks again.